Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Another year, another week at the top of the New Zealand music charts. That would be business as usual for Tiki Tane if there was anything usual about the way he did business. Me and Tom Watts caught up with him here. Let's go, baby girl, it's you and me. We keep driving now till we reach the sea. We won't stop till we feel the ocean breeze. Just let it take us away. Tiki, welcome to the show.
What's up?
And congratulations on the new album, number one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a slight departure from the last album. It's certainly a lot heavier. Was that a deliberate move?
For sure. Yeah, I wanted to kind of do something that was pretty challenging to listen to and as well as produce as well, you know. So I wanted to do big drums, big bass, you know, and it was kind of like the complete opposite to what Always On My Mind was. You know, I wanted to kind of throw it back towards that kind of bass culture thing. So I'm stoked with it, man. I'm really, really proud of it. And everybody involved as well, Optimus Grime, Truth, Crushington, Bulletproof, all those guys, I'm stoked for them as well because it gives them a bit of recognition as well for what they're doing.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I mean, you've got so many collaborators on this album, and yeah. I think you shout out to basically everyone who's working at the moment on Summertime.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you've pulled an incredible vocal performance out of Holly Smith
cool.
on Bloodstone.
Yeah, that was awesome, huh?
So it must have been fun to make. I mean, you mentioned Optimus Grime, Concord Dawn are in there as well, Bulletproof. I mean, is it more of sort of a collaborative party atmosphere making the album? Or?
Yeah, you know, especially with the Holly Tune Smith, right? She just came over, she bought a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
And and it was awesome, man. Like, because, you know, for her to trust me to be able to do that to her voice and take her from her kind of R&B soulful tip and put her into something completely different, some crazy-ass tribal hucker step thing I'm kind of calling it at the moment. And then I distort the hell out of her vocals, you know what I mean? So for her to trust me to do that was awesome, you know, and good on her as well for taking that risk as well. And it turned out awesome. I love that track. And, yeah, I mean, just the whole collaboration with everyone involved, Truth, Optimus Grime, all those guys, I've known them for a long, long time. And I've worked with them a lot live, right? So it was nice to get them in the studio.
Kind of quite a very, very extremely bass-heavy album.
Yeah.
I mean, how did such a kind of extreme album manage to get to number one?
Yeah, isn't it? I know, dude. Seriously. When I got the phone call, I was like, are you sure you counted that right? I mean, my mum goes out and buys lots of albums. I don't think she bought, you know, a couple thousand worth, you know what I mean? So, so I was stoked, man. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's probably off the back of the last record as well. The last record, I think, is nearly triple platinum, which, you know, back then, I just was happy to sell a couple thousand, you know, which would mean I would have broken even on the project. So for it to do 40,000 or whatever it's doing has just been incredible. So I guess it's come off the back of that. But also there's a lot of interest in it as well from other parties, having the guys involved, like Optimus Grime, Truth, and all those guys. They've got their own strong fan base as well. So having them involved has probably pushed it along as well.
It's an album that's kind of been labelled as a dubstep album, but when you actually listen through it, for listeners, dubstep sounds approximately like... I mean, because dubstep is very kind of now. Were you at all worried about, like, I don't know, having a dubstep sound that would date at all?
Not really. You know, I mean, dubstep has, well, I first heard of it in year 2003, mm-hmm. So it's not now. It's been around for a long time.
But it has hit mainstream kind of
big. I guess so. I mean, you could say the same thing about drum and bass, you know, when it hit mainstream in the sort of late 90s. So people said the same thing about that it's a phase. But for me, I don't really care about that kind of stuff. I just make music that turns me on. And, you know, people say it's a dubstep record. That's fine by me. You know, it's like, it's got other things in it as well. It's got, like, some tribal stuff I've done. It's got some breaky stuff. It's got, like, drum and bass. You know, it's more of a bass-heavy, beat-heavy kind of driven album. And, you know, if dubstep's out tomorrow, that's not a problem. You know, I still love it. Still get into it. Like, I get into drum and bass. Say that about country and western music as well.
Country and western's great. How do you feel about country and western?
oh, I like it too, but not everyone likes that as well.
Right, you're not gonna, it's not going to be the next album, it's going to be a country western
I might do a country western album next year, what do you reckon?
You heard it here first, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Tiki's country and western album coming out next year.
Been, I mean, so many sides to what you do. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of listeners will know Always On Your Mind and Before That, For the Love of It. But, yeah. I mean, even though they're quite different from someone like Tangaroa, for example, off the last album. And then on top of that, I mean, you were saying Break Even, but you've got the whole other business side of it, the production, the merchandise.
For sure, for sure.
Was that very much a choice or is that sort of a necessity in the business these days?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to sort of be self-sufficient, you know what I mean? So... when I broke away from Selma and Dub, I started my own record label called Dirty Dub, my own production company called Tiki Dub, and then got my family involved. My sister runs the business, my other sister runs all the merchandise, so now we've picked up merchandise for Shapeshifter, Black Seeds, Holly Smith. So we do all the merchandise for those guys as well.
And
so
you've got your family all over the album as
well. My son's on the album, my dad's on the album, you know, my mum, she's been supportive of everything I do. Since the first gig right up until now. So I've got a really strong foundation of people. And, you know, that's something I've always wanted to do is have that control and that keep it in the family kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
Totally. I mean, and that family ethos also comes across online in, on your website. There's kind of like almost like a message board and you reply to everyone.
I try to. Yeah, when I've got time, I try to reply to everyone. But my sisters run the Facebook page and every now and then I'll get on there and say something. But personally, like, I try and... Because I've got so much to do and I don't want to fall into trap of being on Facebook every second, you know what I mean? I've got beats to make, man. So,
I mean, you obviously do keep busy. You've already said there's going to be a more acoustic album coming out later this year.
Yeah, totally.
You're producing John Toogood's solo
album?
At
the moment, I've got to finish that by the end of mid-April. So that's awesome. John Toogood's record's awesome. I'm loving that. I'm mixing that, producing that at home. And then I'm releasing OMC's unreleased material that he wrote before he passed away. So releasing that on my record and then on my record label and then the acoustic album at the end of the year. So it's a big year. Come fly with me.
Just back to the business side of thing. I mean, you've released this album in a number of different, I guess, bundles. I mean, there's the digital, there's the physical copy. You're doing through your website, doing bundles with a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And so again, is that sort of a novelty, or is that kind of something you have to do with the way sales are going?
No, I think it's just we've got a surplus of T-shirts we need to get rid of, right? No, but it's just nowadays, you know, you just got to try it. It's tricky to sell music these days. A lot of people are downloading it for free, which is, you know, you can't stop that. So just trying to tag something on, like a T-shirt or, like, you know, like whatever we've got going on can kind of, like, help people get a little bit more motivated about buying music. So I guess that's the main reason as well, you know.
So have you got plans to tour on the back of this album?
And I'm doing a few shows in New Zealand, and then I've got to go to Europe with Shapeshifter because I do their sound, so I've got to go do that. And then on the way back, I tour Australia, do 2 weeks over there, and then I've come back to New Zealand to do the OMC stuff, get that happening, and then I've got Japan lined up for July, but I'm not sure how that's sitting because of you know, the recent tsunami and stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of things going on, man. It's awesome. I'm loving this year. It's good.
Oh, Tiki, thank you for coming on the show, and good luck with what sounds like a pretty full-on year.
Cool. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Gitano there from his album In the World of Light, which is in shops now. If you'd like to hear anything that's been in this show or in past shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
And I've been Jeremy Elwood. Thank you to our friends at New Zealand On Air.